Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, back in the saddle. He's now officially a member of the York County Council, a job that he's held now for 5 months.
I tell you what, we're rolling forward strong. That's right.
His name is Tom Audette, and he represents the great metropolitan area of Fort Mill, South Carolina.
There you go, District 1.
Growing by, like, aren't you happy? Aren't you happy that the school district won their court case?
Yes. Yes.
And they've got almost $40 million, I think, to use towards capital projects.
Right.
And they now can finally use it.
Well, exactly. And it's going to lend towards tax breaks for residents and businesses, which is huge. So great news.
I always remember sitting here when all this court battle stuff started and the opposition, the Realtors Association, the home builders and what have you. Their whole concern was that large an impact fee would just stifle growth in Fort Mill.
Yeah.
And exactly the opposite is happening.
Yeah. Right.
It's like nobody cares.
Right.
We
right.
just want to live in Fort Mill.
Right. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is. It's definitely wide open. But it's again, having those tax breaks coming out for residents and business, huge.
Yeah.
Great news.
Great news. You've been a council member now since the first city here.
I have.
What do you think?
I tell you what, I thoroughly enjoy it. I tell you, representing the people of my district and of York County, I love it. Looking forward to moving forward. Absolutely.
Is it more than you thought in terms of the time you have to put into this?
No, not really. I think overall, you look at the number of committees that we work with across the board. Currently, I'm actually on six different committees, chair of one committee.
Six committees.
Yes. keeps it busy. There you go.
So there's more to the job than that two-hour meeting every other week.
Yes, there absolutely is. But I tell you, the staff is great. I tell you, working with the people are phenomenal. And, of course, the people of York County are awesome. So
you've got a great professional staff.
Yes.
You really do.
Yes.
You got Hutsmith, you got Madden, and you've got Moore, and that's good for you.
Absolutely.
Good
great
for you.
Team. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So at the retreat that the council had here a few weeks ago that I was pleased to attend, one thing that you brought up when it came time for concerns was something that now I hear more and more comment and criticism and conversation about, and that's this thing about litter. It's like all of a sudden York County, which has been pretty clean in the last year or two, is just, we're seeing trash everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So have you reached any consensus as to what to do about it?
Well, and again, absolutely agree. One of the things that I was tapped on the shoulder pretty quickly was around the litter issue, and again it is across the challenges across York County that we are seeing it. So after digging into it again, our team at the from within York County, after expressing their concern, they did jump on it quickly. They got vehicles out there. They started pressing on what they saw were challenges on the side of the road. But I think systemically, this kind of was led up by the fact of the impact of COVID and the impact of COVID, especially on our correctional centers, where we would normally get more activity from the correctional centers out there cleaning the highways, etc. That really got limited, and I think that we started seeing the impact across the board. So right now, again, we're moving forward with programs from within Public Works.
All right, stop just a second.
Sure.
Why would the inmate labor be, stopped during the COVID. I mean, that's an outside job.
Yeah.
I don't
see. Yeah, there was, and again, that was the reasons for, you know, what we had heard, that there wasn't the number of them out there. But again, I think moving forward, I think we've got a good game plan moving forward. You know, Public Works really has stepped up. There are new litter projects going on right now. Right. One of those is York County Spring Litter Cleanup. That's going to run till June. Now, if you are interested in that, any groups, anything, you just call 803-628-3181, and they will set you up with T-shirts and all the equipment you need to clean. One of the other important things is that York County does is they have what they call a York County Adopt a Highway program. Right. Now, that program, you can just contact, again, that same number and adopt a highway, get a group of people, and again, through these programs that we're pushing right now, it's making a difference. And I think if we continue down that path and we identify where we see the issues, then we can keep it to light and we can keep pressing forward.
Okay, there's two other things that I think you and I have talked about before. One of those is there is existing already an 800 number where one can call and say, I just saw a license plate 1234567 dump a bunch of stuff out on the street.
Yeah.
And whoever's on the other end of that phone does something to send a letter or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that program needs to be kicked in the butt and get it out there and get going. Because you need a lot of eyes to see this stuff. In fact, I can tell you, my wife used it just the other day. We you know, saw somebody pull... Come right off the interstate, nice, big, beautiful SUV, got right to the stoplight there at Highway 901 and just opened their window and dumped a bunch of junk out there. Come on.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. And that's important that if that is seen, that is reported. Actually, the number you want to call is 803-628-3059. And again, if you do see that activity happening, please report it. And, you know, they can address that issue.
So the second thing, and I know law enforcement hates to hear me talk about this, but it seems to me we all learn when we're punished. When we speed and we get a ticket for $75 or $100, we think twice before we put that foot on the accelerator again.
Sure.
If we had some type of enforcement measure where somebody got tagged for $100 when they dumped something out on the road, they think twice about doing that again.
Right.
Yet I don't know why there is. I don't know whether the county council has the authority to do that or whether that has to be a state. I don't know what it is. But when I go back and hear about Lou Holtz when he was a football coach down at USC saying, you know what? South Carolina has the cleanest cars in America.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they dump all their trash out of the highway. I mean,
that's a problem.
It's a
problem.
So
it's a big problem.
So, I mean, do you all have the authority to do something like that?
Well, there has been discussions around how can we look at that from a reporting perspective? And then how can we, when somebody is reported, how can we make that to the point that is going to actually turn around and benefit cleaning a road, right? So whether is that, you know, I don't know, a higher fine or public service, I don't know. That's further discussion to come, but there has been.
So you are discussing that?
There has been a discussion around that, yeah.
Seems to me that you need some type of enforcement measure for this thing really to work, because you can have all the committees in the world, and God bless those people who will go out and clean the roads and volunteer. And that's fabulous.
Yeah.
But you need an enforcement measure.
You do.
To slow it down. The population's growing. You know that better than me.
It is. Again, you know, but do please call that number if anybody does see that. And that, you know, that's definitely something that we can then at least be able to start addressing that issue.
All right, let's move on to something that's even more interesting, because I know you got your teeth into it. And that's this beautiful park that is in the very much in its infancy of being developed, called, at least the working name is River Bend, which I think is a great name because of the way the river Catawba bends. You got almost 2,000 acres down there, and you got a committee together that's trying to figure out what to do and how to do it. But most importantly, you've got probably some of the best experts in the country guiding the process.
Yes,
who've done this all over the world, and they're here because they think this is a magnificent piece of property.
Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity, I tell you what. And it's all about destination. And, you know, when we look at places like the Greenway, and now we look at Riverbend, which is, you know, 1,900 acres on the Catawba River, where you've got basically 5 miles of water riverfront right there for kayaking. You've got bike, you're going to have opportunities for bike trails. I mean, you name it. You know, we can look at these things, you know, even all the way down to the point of maybe bringing some RV camping down there, some tent camping, but making this a destination. And, you know, again, the committees that we're on, you know, there's ideas coming out. And in fact, I think what's important, too, is that we're taking a lot of public feedback on this thing. And if you do go, anybody that wants to get feedback, please go to the York County website. There is a survey listed on there. Or please email me at tom.audette@yorkcountygov.com. I'll get you on my newsletter, and you can do that survey, because we want to have that public feedback.
That survey is very important. It takes not even 5 minutes to fill out.
Yeah.
It's relevant to Riverbend, but it's also relevant to some of these other parks that are going to be coming online at some point.
Absolutely.
Andes Mountain and what have you.
Yeah.
So this is your chance. Mm-hmm. Now, the process, as I understand it, the committee and the consultants will continue to figure out what's what.
Right.
And create a draft, let's say, of a master plan. Then the public will have more opportunity to comment on that draft.
Correct.
And then that draft will be modified accordingly. And once all this process is done, which they think will be about 6 months, then it's thrown into the council's lap to do something with it.
Correct. Exactly. Well, we've seen, you know, when you look at our parks, you look at what we're doing with Ebenezer, you look at what we're doing now, you know, with Riverbend, we are making destinations with these parks. And so, you know, when we get this, all the feedback back, you know, then we will move forward based on sound ideas in order to, you know, start promoting, building out, and looking how we can go from phase one to phase two to introduce this park, you know, to the community and to the broad community. Again, there's when you have an ability to walk along the side of a beautiful river or to hike through some nature areas and be so close to where you live, it's a very nice opportunity.
Well, it's very interesting to me, and I've said this before on the air, having lived here as long as I have, to see how over the last, I'll just say last 20 years, we've gone from we don't really care about the recreation business in York County to, by God, we got to have recreation.
Yeah.
And now we're putting money into it. And the commitment by the current council to say, we're going to do this park and we're going to do it right. It ain't going to be done cheap. It's going to be done right.
Yeah.
Or we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So
we do it right. And I mean, and we're looking at destinations, you know, possibly bringing in a restaurant there, maybe having events there, you know, from wedding events, et cetera. I mean, there is a whole lot of opportunity the way that land is property is designed. And once people get out there, get on the property, identify and look at the beauty of it, they'll be amazed and they'll see the value of it.
It is.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of challenges that are ahead on this. I mean, just getting there is a challenge.
Oh, sure.
Just getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then of course, the council, once they get this master plan, you all are going to have to decide how much of this we're going to bite off year after year, because we're not talking about thousands of dollars. We're probably talking millions of dollars when it's all said and done.
And I think we'll be looking to our business community. We'll be looking across the board from that perspective, you know, because we want to make sure this is, again, a partnership. I think this, again, is a destination for this area. You know, if we do it right, then, you know, it's going to be a win-win situation for everybody. And, again, it's about quality of life for the people in this area and giving them that opportunity. Some of the other things that we talked about or looked at is connector trails between, say, the Greenway, Riverwalk, and Riverbend. You know, the opportunity to be out in such a beautiful area and to be able to ride your bike or hike or walk or that stuff, to go from one location to the other is, again, something that we could that we are looking at. And for, again, quality of life and living in this area, we live in such a beautiful area, let's get outside and enjoy it.
I will never forget the aerial views that were taken right at the Catawba River. You look to the right from the aerial view, you see nothing but rooftops in the Four Mill area. You look to the south over in the Rock Hill area, here is this great big green space.
Yes.
And if this hadn't been done, in time, there probably would be water and sewer service out there that would have caused more rooftops to pop up.
Exactly.
So kudos to the past council for, for doing this.
Yep.
It's no small undertaking. It was millions and tens of millions of dollars.
Sure.
But because of the way the council did it, using a straw man in between, the seller really didn't know who the buyer was, and therefore the price was negotiated even more favorably for the county. It was just well done. The whole thing was well done.
Absolutely.
All right, so what do you see this timetable? I mean, I know you're on this committee. I mean, when do you think that there'll be a point where the public can go access this thing and do something out there? If it's nothing more than just taking a walk.
Right, right. Yeah, I think what's important about this, and in this initial process, a six-month process to identify, you know, what is phase one, phase two, phase three. I think to answer those questions, we're probably going to have more of a timeline probably once this study is completed and once we're giving, you know, again, more feedback to the public. It's definitely going to be a phased approach, you know, as we implement this, because there's a lot of property there and a lot of good uses for it, right, from a recreation perspective. But we got to do it in a phased approach.
Well, just take a look at the Anne Springs Fields Greenway.
Yeah,
that park is, what, 20 years old, 25
yeah.
years old,
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
And they're still doing stuff to it.
Yeah.
So this will be a long-term project. As I think Chuck Flink said in one of the meetings, you know, it's an ongoing process. These parks continue to evolve.
They do.
As the population continues to grow.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Of course, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. You should know how we do it here, but if not, Dr. Audette and myself are going to tell you about it loud and clear. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Charlie, what's new in Substation 2?
That's easy. We're bringing back our delicious corned beef sandwich. It's lean, perfectly seasoned, sliced fresh to order, and garden just the way you like.
Don't miss this limited time offer at Substation 2.
Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
My concern is, let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, but remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. York County Councilman Tom Odette is with us today, and he's had this job all of about 5 months, not quite 5 months, and he's knee-deep in it. He also was selected or volunteered, I don't know which one it was, to serve on the RFATS committee.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Which is the Rock Hill-Fort Mill Area Transit Study mm-hmm. Group.
Yes.
Been around for a long time.
Yes.
They're the ones who work hard on trying to figure out how do you move traffic from point A to point B, mm-hmm. and let's go get the money from the Fed mm-hmm. and the state and get these mm-hmm. things together.
Yeah.
Well, you had a very interesting meeting mm-hmm. Here a week or so ago, mm-hmm. which brought up the same topic that we've heard before, which mm-hmm. is, how we can't keep pace
right.
with building roads
right.
in terms of the amount of traffic that's on them right mm-hmm. now. This region is growing mm-hmm. like crazy.
Right.
York County will probably have very close to 300,000 people mm-hmm. when the census data comes out.
Correct.
A lot of those, the biggest growth has come in the Fort Mill area, which mm-hmm. you represent.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have a parking lot on yeah. I-77
yeah.
from 7 to 9 o'clock or something in the
mm-hmm.
morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably, that parking lot will probably be extended down to Rock Hill in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
So the discussion comes up again, light rail, monorail, whatever, some
right.
alternative.
Right.
Because we don't have any more
right.
dirt to build more lanes on the interstate.
Right.
Is that right?
Exactly. So just to kind of build up to that, you know, as part of the RFATS, you know, we look at what are the trends, right? What are the studies? And if you look out on our studies based on what the study shows for, say, 2040 or 2050, these roads that we currently have, you know, and we're already seeing it now, but these roads are going to be well expanded out with no more, you know, accessibility for expansion. So the conversation we had in our last meeting, you know, talked about, you know, how, you know, this is the time to have these conversations about whether it's monorail, light rail, whatever, you know, how we want to name it. To have that option, okay, to look at that and to look at how we can do it from a long-range perspective. But if we do it now and we look at it now, we have a better opportunity to do it right, as opposed to all of a sudden getting it down the road and identifying that we're too far down the road where we can't expand, and all of a sudden we're doing it in a more exponential manner. That's when I think that it's going to come back to bite us. So I think those discussions, you know, and based on our last meeting, We're very vibrant. We had very good discussions around that opportunity to move forward to look at that. Now, it's already being looked at by RFETS, and it has been, but we wanted to expand on that. So after that meeting, we actually have decided to form a subcommittee from within the county. It'll be there'll be two members and on that committee. And we were going to be looking at, from a county council perspective, and we were going to be looking at that from a subcommittee standpoint and how we can approach it, you know, from a logical, smart perspective and get this, you know, get a game plan in order to stay ahead of that curve, where we're going to look at a very, very negative impact on our roads. We're seeing it now. It's only going to get worse. So,
okay. So mm-hmm. I know in some of the planning for some of the major routes we have right now, like the expansion of Highway 21.
Right.
I believe they already have a corridor in there where a future rail line could go,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just put the planning aside. You, mm-hmm. you'll come up with the routes and what have you.
Sure.
Then you get down to the brass tacks of money,
mm-hmm.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look what it's costing them to do the light rail up in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
You're not talking millions. You're mm-hmm. talking billions. Billions of dollars to do a few miles.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, and you know or have heard of Chet
mm-hmm.
Miller,
mm-hmm.
who did so much for York County during his time here, leading all kinds of bond referendums and initiatives like Sunday sales and what
mm-hmm.
have you. On this program, before mm-hmm. he left, he talked about, well, why couldn't we come up with using existing rail lines
mm-hmm.
that Norfolk Southern operates?
Sure.
Get Norfolk Southern into the business,
mm-hmm.
say you operate it, you know, maybe the counties around
right.
the rail would build places where people could be picked up and dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could work all that out, it would be a much less expensive
well,
alternative than going from scratch.
And again, that goes back to the point of starting now. You know, we need to look at it from a cost standpoint and what is going to be the most affordable and best plan to move forward. If we look at it now and we look at those cost models, okay, and identify where we're going to be able to save our money in this type of plan, then this is the time now to have those conversations. So I 100% agree. 100% agree.
Well, it won't be too long before the council will be looking to do pennies for progress number 5, I guess it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Still a couple of years off, but I wonder out loud, and you can see why I'm not a politician. I'm just a loudmouth broadcaster. Why you wouldn't say, you know what, York County, we've done a great job with a penny. Look what we've done. That penny has become basically $1 billion worth of road work mm-hmm. over the last 20 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. But a penny ain't cutting it anymore. Mm-hmm. If we're going to deal with these problems and try to get some help from the Fed, mm-hmm. we really need to put up some significant money because of mm-hmm. what this project could well cost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So maybe we ought to look at not a penny, but pennies for progress. Maybe we should be talking 3 cents mm-hmm. instead of one penny.
Yeah.
Now, I know politically that might be a very mm-hmm. hot potato mm-hmm. to deal with, but the money aspect of this is very real.
Yeah. Well, it is. And the challenge is that, you know, again, because when we look at these projects, we are having to delay a lot of projects because, obviously, the lack of funding. I mean, we've got a lot in the pipeline and it's going very well, but the challenge is that the cost of building roads doesn't get cheaper, right?
Yeah.
You know, the cost of doing anything does not get cheaper. So we got to come up with a game plan. One of the other, you know, things that we keep in mind as we move forward too is what we're getting from the infrastructure bank from the state level. Now, recently we were able to get a little bit over $400,000 on a project that allowed us to, again, cut the cost on what we're spending from a county level, and that infrastructure money from the infrastructure bank then came in, and again, it was a savings for us. But there is opportunity from within the infrastructure bank that we want to tap into. The other thing too is that when we look at these studies, we also are looking at alternative transportation, even outside of rail and road, and that is bike paths, sidewalks, and extension of those. And that's something that we're going to be looking even closer into the future because, again, we have to look at as many ways for people to get around, all right? And if we pre-plan this now in advance, the cost of putting in a bikeway or a sidewalk in advance as opposed to afterwards is much less expensive.
And the other thing I guess you would have to see is what is the long-term impact mm-hmm. of this pandemic? We've had mm-hmm. so many people mm-hmm. like yourself mm-hmm. who are now working from home
yeah.
because that's the way their corporations
Absolutely.
Are operating.
Mm-hmm.
But in reading some of these business journal articles, you know, Bank of America, for mm-hmm. instance, is starting to call people back this summer.
Yes.
And there's going to be a mixture between those who have to go back to work
yes.
and those who continue to work from home.
Yes.
But still, we have a traffic issue.
Yeah, we have a traffic issue. And again, as people travel more, you're going to exponentially start to see that. You know, and again, you want to be able to have people walk out of their neighborhood, safely go for a walk, you know, and ride their bike and not have to worry about, you know, the concerns of traffic. So that's one thing that's critically important. One of the other items I want to mention to you from an RFATS perspective is I'm currently now on the subcommittee for TAPS and CMAQ, which is funding for alternative transportation. So, again, as a body, we are looking closely at this to how we can expand support that.
Well, York County Councilman Tom Audette, our half hour is going by. We're done. We're finished.
Well,
we lived through it.
I tell you what, it's always great talking. And just one last thing. If anybody wants a newsletter from myself, I send one out monthly. You can contact me at tom.audette@yorkcountygov.com.
And he'll send you one.
And we'll send.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more from AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we have the magical formula here for fresh subs and salads prepared 7 days a week. State Representative Randy Ligon has come in to lead us in the chant. Are you ready now? 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye. Yeah.